Welcome to Moments of Meditation from the First Baptist Church of Plymouth, Connecticut. The meditation entitled Romans Road, Instruments of Righteousness is presented by the Reverend Richard J. Dion.
Our second reading comes to us, of course, out of Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 14. Romans chapter 6. Now, what do you say to that? Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 14. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? How shall we that are called by his name, how shall we who died to sin live any longer therein? Or aren't you aware of us that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may walk in newness of life. For we have been united with him like this in his death. We will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. We know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be rendered powerless, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. For anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you too must count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey it in its desires. Verse 13. Do not present the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and present the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness. For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under law, but under grace. May God add his richest blessings to his word this morning. I want to bring to you a message titled Romans Road, 6th Avenue, Apartments 1 through 14. Apartments 1 through 14, that's verses 1 through 14, my little quote on that. And the title of this message, Instruments of Righteousness. Instruments of Righteousness. I brought to you today the scriptures from Isaiah 55. Seek the Lord while he may be found. You know, come before him. And you know, when we look at things here, when we look at what Paul is saying in Romans chapter 6, he continues to talk about righteousness all through. We've been through chapters 1 through 5 so far, and it's talking about Abraham, and it was Abraham walking by faith. It was counted to him as righteousness because he walked by faith. So it is for us to walk in faith, to walk in that righteousness, but not a righteousness of our own, but a righteousness that comes from God alone. Because you do not have what it takes to make it. What are you saying? You in yourself do not have what it takes to make it. See, God calls us to be an instrument. Now, you think of an instrument. I have a few definitions I'd like to share with you about of an instrument. What is an instrument? Because we're called to be instruments of righteousness, right? So we ought to know what an instrument is. I mean, how many of you play an instrument? Anybody? Any? I got one. I got two. I got three. What instrument do you play? You play your older brother's drums. Sweet. We got to get the drum. What do you play? The what? You play the guitar? She plays the guitar. Oh, boy, oh, boy. That's cool. Now, listen to this. Just a few definitions I want to give you, and I want you to think about it. An instrument is a mechanical tool or implement especially used for delicate or precision work. It might be used in a surgical application. A contrivance or apparatus for producing musical sounds. And I want you to think about these definitions. Think about it. An instrument a surgeon uses. An instrument is used to make a melody, if you would, unto the Lord. A means by which something is effected or done. An agency. An instrument of government, you might say. We are called to be an agent for Him. Right? Right? So we are called to be an instrument for God, an instrument He can use. He can use to implement something in a surgical matter. He wants to put you in a place that He can utilize you as the tool that He needs to bring some good outcome in the earth. A device for measuring the present value of a quantity under observation. A mechanical or electronic measuring device, especially one used in navigation. Think about that. This is what an instrument is. This is what an instrument may be. You know, you are called, everybody look up here. Everybody look up here. Everybody look up here. Now, say, I am an instrument. I'm an instrument of God to be used in righteousness. It could be a formal legal document as a draft or a bond, a negotiable. See, God wants you negotiating things. God wants you for precision work. God does precision work. God does precision work. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that as many of us as were baptized were buried with him in the waters of baptism, raised again to newness of life? Now, why do I bring this up? Because Paul is bringing this up. Paul is bringing this out. Paul is calling us, each one, to walk in righteousness. Because it's that important. He paid tribute to righteousness for six chapters now. And he's telling us something that he wants us to get. You and I are called to be what? An instrument through which God can use to bring about his will, his perfect plan in the earth. And it's not enough for us to just settle and say, well, oh, I'm saved. It's okay. When I use an instrument to make a melody, maybe a trumpet, maybe what do you call that? A tube? What do you call that instrument? A saxophone? You're using it? Saxophone? You play the saxophone, don't you, Peter? No, you don't play the saxophone. You play the guitar and the piano. That's right. I remember. I was thinking, I don't know why. Maybe God is going to put that in your hands. Hallelujah. Let Lord, just do it as he sees fit. Anyway, but he calls us to be an instrument. Now that instrument, any instrument, whether it's the piano, the organ, a guitar, whatever it may be, does nothing until someone takes a hold of it, right? And breathes into it or plays those keys. That's not making any noise unless there's life in it. You see, life must be brought to it, that instrument. What I'm trying to say is you are the instrument of God. You are his instrument. As you have died to self and sin and things that do not please God and put this flesh down, not allowing it to have its way, but allowing God to have his way, bringing every thought captive to the obedience of God, to the obedience of Christ, every thought, every word that we speak, because whatsoever is not of faith is sin, correct? So as we live this life, as we look in at Romans chapter 5 here, and as Paul tells us, he's calling us, and I wrote in my notes, we have died to sin. Sin, you've got to remember, in the first Adam, right? When Adam came, sin came in the world. He was deceived, and he partook. He chose to partake. And by that, death reigned. Death reigned from Abraham, from Adam to Moses. Death reigned. And death reigns, you might say. We needed somebody to conquer death. Because see, the wages of sin is what? Death. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The gift of God. God gives us a gift. We died in Adam. We now are, see, and the Lord from the very beginning, when he provided a cloak for their sin. He provided skins for them. He knew sin. He was showing us that there must be a sacrifice, for without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. So he showed us in that way. And now Christ, we know Christ came. Christ lived that sinless life. Why? It was God who came in the flesh, gave up all of eternity. Think about that. You think this life is all that great, but God, Jesus, gave all of eternity up, became a man that he might die for you and I. That he might die and pay the penalty. You see, when it comes to sin, God stopped playing. He couldn't play. He didn't have time to play. For before the foundations of the world, Christ was crucified. How's that so? Because he's God. I'm not. I'm finite. I'm limited. I've got a few number of years to live. You know, I may live to 120. Perhaps. If so, praise God. If not, you know, praise God. I get to go home to be with him. And I'm excited about that. So I am called to be an instrument of righteousness. But here in the second Adam, Christ came. And now in the waters of baptism, Paul is showing us. Jason, you recently got baptized, right? You were buried in Christ. And came up a new man, came up it representing and showing how that you live a new life in Christ alone. So now we who are dead to sin, but you don't understand, I messed up or I did this. If we sin, we have an advocate with the Father who is ever interceding for us. You see, it's bringing every thought captive. It's saying he is enough. It's not relying on myself. It's relying on him. It's not good enough for you to say, well, I'll make it. I'll just keep running. No, it's for you and I to go to him, repent. And what's he say? He will, if we come to him, he will forgive us. He will forgive us. Has he forgiven you lately? Have you invited him in? Have you messed up and taken the time to say, Lord, forgive me? and an earnest heart. And listen to me, don't beat yourself up, because if you're condemning yourself, you're not winning. Because there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You've got to walk in the Spirit of the living God. You've got to walk in the wholeness that is Him, not in you, but Him in you is the hope of glory. I have this hope in me. Therefore, I rejoice in the Savior who gave His life for you and I, that I might have life. See, when Christ died, and paid the penalty of your sin and mine, He took the penalty that we deserve. But death couldn't hold Him. Death couldn't keep Him. You see, He died once for all, that we might have life, and that more abundantly. You see, we are raised with Him into new life, into newness of life, by the glory of the Father, according to Romans 6. Now we live by His grace. And what did I say about grace? What have I said about grace, that an acronym that I use? What have I said? Anybody know? Grace. God's what? God's riches at Christ's expense. Everybody say that. God's riches at Christ's expense. Okay, you've got to remember it. You are called to be that instrument that He uses. Will you be that instrument, or will you allow yourself to continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? So we need to yield our members, every part of our body, our hands, our fingers, our arms, our legs, our toes, our torso, our whole being, especially this unruly member, that unruly member that speaks some nasty things, that says some untruths from now and then, that decides to gossip perhaps, that decides to lie, that unruly. Walk in righteousness, and you become the instrument through which He can affect this world. Does that make sense to each of us? Does that make sense? Is that something we ought to do? Bring every thought captive to the obedient. Your brain works, right? Yeah, that's how you know you got thoughts, right? You got thoughts, right? Your brain works. So it says, bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. If I'm thinking of an illicit deal, I need to bring it. I need to squash it, put it under, and say, that's not of God. That's not from my Father. That's not the spirit in which He wants me to live. He doesn't bring condemnation. He doesn't bring deceit into a situation. He brings life. He brings truth. He brings love. He brings all that He is into our situations, that we might live unto Him. But it's a choice to bring every thought captive. Now, you say, how am I going to do that? Lord, I can't. If you don't feel that you've got the capacity to do that, we can. And we must choose. See, I want to be an instrument through which He can flow. I want to be an instrument by which He can go into the world. Because these hands, this mind, this body, these legs, these feet, and these toes even, because every part matters. What? I mean, if I lost a toe, where would I be? Think about it. Think about if you lost your toe, how painful that could be. And then you lose your balance. So how important is the toe? Hello? Very, very important. If I lost my toe, I'd cry. I mean, I'm sure I would. I don't want to lose my toe. I love my toes. I thank God for my toes, even though they're not so pretty sometimes. Ask my wife, she'll tell you. She loved me. She still loves me, though. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. So, as an instrument of righteousness, as God calls us, you see, seek the Lord while he may be found. You need to take this instrument that God has given to you, okay? Your body. You are not your own. You've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body, which is your reasonable service. You are not your own. You don't belong to you. You don't belong to you. What are you saying? How is that so? You belong to God. You belong to him. If you've given your heart and life to Christ, you belong to him. You're not your own. So it says to glorify God in your body. Whatever you do with your toes or your nose, whatever you do, make sure it goes in his way. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Think about that. So wherever you find yourself going, whatever you find yourself doing, whether it's to your brother or your sister, whether it's to your neighbor or to an enemy, whatever you do it as unto the Lord. You do it in good faith. Why do I treat my enemy with good? Because I overcome evil with good. I can overcome evil with good. How can that be? The Lord said to do so. Why? Because I give place to wrath. I give place to God. I give place to him because I am an instrument of righteousness. Called to glorify him. Called to be what he has called me to be. The definitions that I gave you, are you going to be that precision tool that he can use to do the operation in another perhaps? Are you going to be that instrument that brings a melody to the world that will allow others to hear and taste and see that the Lord is good? You see, it's up to each one of us to live according to his word. It's not good enough for us to just say, well, I don't need that today. Lord, I'm too busy. Lord, I don't have time for your word today. I'm too busy. And believe me, I've been guilty. I've been guilty. But I find that I must partake of the heavenly manna. Why? Because in this is life, and that more abundantly. In him is life, and I must partake. And as I partake, I allow him to work through me to do exceedingly above and beyond all that I could ask, think. I want to see him work miracles. I want to see him do things that look impossible. I want to see him heal the sick, raise the dead. I want to see him do it again and again and again. Why? Because I know he can. Because I want to, if I make my boast, I'm going to make my boast in Christ. If I make my boast, I'm going to make my boast in God. And I'm going to make my boast in his righteousness, not that of my own. And I do have an assignment for you this week. I want you to read Psalm 71. Psalms, everybody say 71. Psalm 71. Why? Because there's things in there I want you to get. And I don't have enough time to bring it all out here, but I want you to get it. Psalm 71. And it talks of righteousness. And I want you to read it all the way through. And I want you to understand what God is saying to you as an individual. Psalm 71. Why? Because God has more in store for you. But you've got to understand you are an instrument to him because you are not your own. Your body is meant to be a living sacrifice unto God, which is our reasonable service. You see, as we walk this out, this walk of faith, this walk, we walk in the righteousness of God, not in a righteousness of our own. Because if it was my own, then I could outdo you or you could outdo me. But in his righteousness, I walk. And now I declare the goodness of God in the land of the living. Why? Because I choose to live and not die. I shall live and I shall live forever. And see, I have the hope. It doesn't matter whether I live or whether I die, as Paul said, whether I live or whether I die, it matters not. But it is better, as Paul said, it's better for me to live now, you know, for you. Because if he died, he'd be with the Lord and evermore shall be. I long for that day. I long for that day. Not that I wish to leave here. I love my beautiful bride dearly. And I wouldn't want, but I know to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. We win. You see, death has no more power. Death has lost its sting. Why? Because I have this hope in me. I love going to a Christian memorial service. I love to go to a Christian wake, if you would, where we celebrate the life. But they're dead. You don't understand. They're dead. But they live because they found Christ. You see, hope in me, the hope of glory. And we can rejoice together. We can rejoice together. Will you rejoice in him? You see, you better fill your cup up and get full of the oil of the Holy Spirit. How are you going to overcome this flesh? You got to walk in the Spirit. How are you going to walk in the Spirit? You've got to get in his presence. Outside of his presence, you have nothing. But see, this, just like this piano, can't play unless Julie comes to it and tickles its ivory, if you would, and plays on it and brings a melody that we can all hear and embrace. You are that instrument of God that God wants to flow through, that God wants to utilize to bring about his plan in the earth. Can you say amen? So the choice is up to us, each one of us, to walk in newness of life each day. And I say to you today, choose you this day whom you will serve. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Don't give in to your fleshly appetites the sin that does so easily beset us. But give yourself over to God, who loves you unconditionally. Think about that. He loves you despite your flaws. He loves you despite your inhibitions. He loves you despite, so intimately, he loves you. And I want you to understand that you are called to walk in righteousness by faith, forsaking all, I trust him. To walk in his grace, God's riches at Christ's expense, in righteousness, in holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. So let us conclude this message in a prayer. Our gracious Father, we thank you so much for your word here this morning. I thank you for everyone within the sound of my voice. I ask you, Father, that you would quicken us to the word that has been spoken here. Lord, that we would understand the cycle of life, the joy of life, the joy of living in you. Lord, make us to be that instrument of righteousness for you. That we would clearly be that instrument through which you can flow and you can touch and you can minister in this place, in this time, in this hour in which we live. So we commit ourselves to you, asking that you would do exceedingly above and beyond all that we could ask, think, or expect that you would do. Lord, that we would understand your grace truly is greater than our sin, because you made it possible that we might have life and that more abundantly. So together this morning, we rejoice in what you've done and what you're doing, even still today, for your glory and in your precious, most holy name. And all God's people said, amen.
You have heard Moments of Meditation from the First Baptist Church of Plymouth, Connecticut. the meditation entitled Romans Road, Instruments of Righteousness, was presented by the Reverend Richard Dion. For more information, call the church office at 860-283-6181 or email the church at fbcp24@gmail.com. We wish you blessings on your day.